Welcome to Job Title, where we dive into exactly that, the stories and experiences of real people with all kinds of job titles. In this episode, I talk with Sarah, who is an athletic trainer in the high school setting. In this role, she's helping student athletes with any injuries that may arise so they can safely recover with the hopes of fully participating in their sport again. She gets to create relationships with the students, families, and community, which allows her to feel like she's really making a difference in their lives. Other parts of her job include making sure the facilities are ready for games and getting kids off to their events. It was so fun to hear about this niche of healthcare that is really important for our athletes, and she mentioned some different places athletic trainers could work as well. Listen now for a window into this job title. Welcome back. I'm your host, Heidi Nykamp, and today we are going to be hearing from one of my very good friends, Sarah.
Hello.
Thanks again for joining me today to chat about your job title. The tradition here is to start off with me asking you if you had a childhood dream job growing up.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny. I really didn't have a childhood dream job. I was trying to think really hard back on any kid memories, and I really didn't have a specific. It wasn't like I was set and like, I'm going to become a doctor. Nope. I was just doing my thing when I was younger and not really set in one path or the other, which kind of makes sense to not having a specific goal until later in life.
Yeah, it's kind of good to not feel that like pressure that I feel is sometimes pushed on us growing up. Like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. Like, that's a long ways away.
Exactly. You don't really need to know when you're 10 and in middle school. You're just there to play.
I love that. At what point did you decide that you wanted to pursue what your current job title is?
So probably in my senior year of high school, when everyone's asking you, like, what are you going to go to school for? What are you going to do? I debated going into physical therapy, going into nursing. I knew I wanted to do something along those lines. And so in high school, I had talked to like my high school athletic trainer. I never had like a significant injury. But it kind of sparked at least the interest of seeing what it was more. And then I looked into it more, just did a lot of like Googling, looked at like the colleges I was looking into. And then when I started college, that was like the path that I picked. And then it kind of went from there. And then once I was in it, it was really no turning back.
That's awesome. It's nice that it like became the right fit. So share with us just one more time. What is your current job title?
Oh, yeah. I am a high school athletic trainer. Athletic trainers can be in any sporting setting. So I have friends that are in college settings. I have friends that are in clinical settings. So they work in orthopedic offices. You can work anything from kids youth camps to NFL, Super Bowl football games, and anything else in between. So we're pretty much healthcare in very specific sports setting.
Gotcha. And practically speaking, when you're working at your location, what does it look like for you to be an athletic trainer?
So an athletic trainer, especially in my setting, is, you know, being prepared for emergency situations, prevention. So I do a lot of just like open discussions with kids and be like, well, let's make your body feel better, preventative wise. So lots of like nutrition talking or like hydration talking. And then also once an injury happens, I take care of the injury at the immediate time, but then also take care of the injury and all the parts that come after it, like rehab and all the other things that go with it.
Gotcha. And how long have you been working at your location?
So at my current high school, I've been there 4.5 years, which usually kind of like teachers, we like go with the school calendar. So the end of this year will be 5 years. So I've seen a lot of seniors graduate, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, I remember that. It's weird to see them grow up so much over their time in high school. And but it's a cool relationship that you get to have being in the high school setting. It's unique for sure. Yeah. How did you find your job?
So I was at Grand Valley for my bachelor's, and then I went on to grad school. And then I knew I wanted to come back to Holland. I wasn't very far away, but I wanted to come back to Holland. I had stayed in contact with athletic training, like managers, just to like keep an eye on positions in Holland specifically. And then the posting went live, slash I also was told that it was like an opening at this school. And so it kind of was a combination of word of mouth and like an actual job posting on a board.
Gotcha. And would you say it's pretty typical for this kind of position to be found that way?
It can be. I feel like we're kind of a weird small community of people, and so if there's a position opening, we'll like spread it and around, and we happen to know who it is. Or there's a lot of other athletic trainers that we all came from Grand Valley, or we came from the same grad school or whatever. So it's like, hey, there's a job opening, or hey, you want to move back here, or something like that. That does happen pretty often, but you can still get a normal job posted like any other job.
For the educational background side of things, what do you have to study in to become an athletic trainer?
So when I was in school, and it's crazily changed already, so I'm just going to go through what I went through, and it has changed a little bit since then. But I went to school for 4 years and got my bachelor's, and at that time you could be certified and licensed in whatever state right after you got your bachelor's. But they were approaching, and we knew when we were graduating that they were going to push that to be a master's level. And so a lot of us were like, okay, we should go and get our grad school or get our master's, because we knew all of the next generation of athletic trainers would be coming out with their master's. So I personally did 4 years of my bachelor's, got certified and licensed in the state of Michigan, and started to work, and then did grad school. Whereas now it's a combined program. They can't get certified and licensed until they get further in, and they now graduate a little bit differently with their bachelor's and master's combined. So it's a little bit differently now, but
Gotcha. Yeah. I feel like speech pathology is kind of a similar track where you can do the bachelor's and then go right into your master's program, but you really aren't able to continue like working actually in the field until you have that master's. So it's weird to be in that like transition time, but also good that you took the initiative to go and get your master's, knowing that it would be more competitive based on how things were going to be.
And I think physical therapy made that shift at one point in time, and then they made that shift again to like master's to doctorate. So it definitely happens for sure.
Yeah, following the same kind of trend. Is the title of the degree just athletic training for both of those then?
It's
Okay.
like this weird niche of schooling where it's like its own separate program. So
Are they competitive to get into?
not as competitive as like nursing and physical therapy is right now. Like my class at Grand Valley only had 12 kids in it, so it was a really tight-knit class once you get in the program. I have students, like I work with students now, and their classes are about the same size. 8 at the lowest we've had, or I've heard, and then 12 at the most. It just keeps it nice and tight, and it's not huge, so they don't have like hundreds of applications like some programs do either.
Gotcha. Yeah, it sounds like a very niche type of industry. Do you have to like sports to get into it?
Not necessarily, but it does
Okay.
help. I mean, a lot of the people that get into it, they have some sort of sporting background, or they've gotten hurt and they've worked with their own athletic trainer personally and like saw that and was really appreciative and saw that as a route of healthcare. I do know some athletic trainers that just got into it and they love it and they aren't really big into sports. They just like the collaboration and the combination of the healthcare with the sports. But I feel like most of them, like I watch a lot of sports. So you have to kind of like it. Otherwise, you might get sick of it too. You have to be
Yeah.
okay sitting at soccer games and every other sporting event too. So,
Right. Yeah. Well, that's good to know for
yeah.
someone who might be considering it. Like, you don't have to love sports, but you're gonna be around them a lot, and your
Yeah.
athletes are gonna talk about their sports and whatnot and things like that. So, did you have any kind of like internships or practicums throughout your educational experience?
Not specifically. We had, I guess, technically an internship my senior year. We don't have full-time school. In your last semester of Grand Valley, you have an internship, so it's very little school and you're mostly just out in the workplace. So my internship was with a hospital in Grand Rapids, and it was a collaboration between a clinic setting, so athletic trainers can also work in the clinic setting, and it was a high school setting. Some internships, like I could have gone into another state or whatever, but I did not go crazy.
Gotcha. So you've been on this path of becoming an athletic trainer and now you're actually doing it. Let's jump into what it actually looks like on a day-to-day basis. Do you have different types of days?
Yeah, I was going through our sheet of, what we're going to talk about, and I was like, there's really two big differences. There's game days when we actually are hosting, and there's a soccer game, and then there's just practice days. So every day is different, and that's a part of what I love. I think that's a question later, but game days, especially with athletic trainers in a high school setting, we cover so many different sports, and every season is different. So in the fall, your sports are different from the winter, which are different from the spring, which means your game days are different, which has its blessings and can be super annoying sometimes too. So like game days is a combination of prepping as a host. So like I get water set up, I make sure the teams are ready to go. I have to get XYZ things done before like they get on the bus, make sure they're taken care of. The classic things you might think of from an athletic trainer, tape, wound care, stretching, rolling. And then that would be game days, kind of getting teams where they need to go. And then once the game or the event has started, then I'm there and I'm present, and I'm waiting for something to happen. And there's always something. It's not always big. It could be anything from a broken bone to just someone who got hit in the stomach and we just need to talk it through. Sometimes a lot of the things during games aren't anything mind-blowing, but you do have to be prepared for when things aren't are bigger, I should say. Anything from concussions, fresh injuries, sprains, strains, fractures. So it's really depends on the day. Sometimes I sit and I watch a great game of soccer and nothing happens and I cheer on my team and we go home. And some nights I'm running around between my kids and the host kids because everyone decided to get hurt that night. So it really depends. It really depends for
Yeah.
game days. And then the other part of my job is more of a normal day, a practice day. That would be after school. The kids get out of school, they come see me for rehab. Anything, from post-injury, we have rehab from whatever, long-term injury. So I'll work with kids that had like tear in the ACL and we're in different stage of rehab. I also, I coordinate for like concussions, and so they have to check in with me, and we kind of go through the various steps of returning them to play that way. Also, workouts can be simple from I just sprained my ankle and I can barely move my ankle to okay, you're almost ready to play. Let's push it and see how you do. So after school is getting them to practice, seeing who can practice, and then just a whole bunch of paperwork when the kids aren't there. So, yeah, it's really ebbs and flows, and every day is different for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like there's just a lot of moving pieces. When you have a game day, like, could it be anything from one event to multiple events where you're running around from place to place?
Yeah, so in a high school setting specifically, unless you have a really big high school. So I have like a medium-sized high school that I work at, so there's only myself. In the let's just say in the fall, for example, I could be covering volleyball in the gym and there's soccer outside. So I have to go to the highest risk sport, which in that case would be soccer. And then I might have to run inside in case I get a call from volleyball. And sometimes there's more than just two events happening. There's multiple occasions in the spring where there's soccer, softball, and baseball. And still, soccer is higher risk because it's contact, and you just have to be ready to jump and quick get to the other fields in case something happens.
Yeah. Do you have a way to get around?
Yes, I have a little golf cart. Our campus isn't big, which is nice, but it is split. So, like, one side is XYZ sporting field, and the other side of campus has the other events. So, there is a little bit of drive time between one side of campus and the other side of campus, but I can make it across pretty fast and when I need
That's helpful.
Yes.
Would that be like coaches reaching out to you? Are they like on a walkie-talkie or do they call you or how do they reach you?
Yeah, so our school finds some do walkie-talkies. We just use cell phones and call back and forth. Coaches know if you call, that's more important. If it's like a text, hey, can you get here when you get here? That's very different than obviously a phone call or a frantic. Sometimes I have it where like three people are calling me about the same thing. Like a site supervisor, my athletic director, and a coach, because they're all just making sure someone gets a hold of me. But the campus walkie-talkies, and I work at a school that's very in town, we pick up a lot of random other stuff. So walkie-talkies aren't always the greatest. So we just call.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you have like your system of level of urgency. And
Exactly.
yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
So, on those game days, you mentioned you're responsible both for your kids and the host kids. Are there any situations where you would be away at an event?
Very unlikely. The only kind of like general rule of thumb is that we travel with our team for football, specifically varsity football, because the risk is high on both sidelines. And it's really hard for an athletic trainer to cover both sidelines, two sets of varsity teams. It's such a big team. There's so many injuries that could happen. Or if something does happen that's relatively big, you have two people there that can help each other out, be there, and at least, tag team the situation. We've had that multiple times that like we help each other out. But otherwise, I don't travel. I like to travel when they get into like postseason. So if they're winning and they're doing really well, then I like to travel out of more support. And obviously I will work too, but more of like, oh my goodness, we're winning. Like, we're gonna keep going. So
Yeah.
by that point of the season, there's like one team that keeps going, and everybody else is slowing down. So I'm not missing anything that's at our own school.
Being in charge of all of these different sports, is there like a general amount of kids that you're seeing day to day? Does it fluctuate pretty often?
Fluctuates pretty often. In total, I think we have like just under 300 athletes between like the whole school. And then I am advisable to our middle school athletes. So if you want to add their numbers in there, that's quite a few athletes. I would say on a day to day, anywhere from 5 to 20. There's certain days, certain times of the week, especially Mondays if they all decide to get hurt on the weekend and then come to see me. Especially teens that have Saturday events, we have that a lot that they come, and Mondays can be a little bit chaotic to start the week, and then it kind of tapers as we have a game plan for the rest of the week. But yeah, it really fluctuates. It really does.
If a kid were to get injured doing a non-sport related thing, but they're in sport, would they still come to see you?
They are allowed to, and it really is dependent if it's on what they did and what they were doing. They still can see me, especially if it's affecting their current sport. It's not ideal, but there's so many kids that play club sports, or they're playing rec sports, or they were like, "Hey, I tripped getting off the bus." Yeah, great. But you play basketball, okay. We'll take care of you to get you back to basketball at least.
That makes sense. So you have like this medical first, I mean, you're the medical person on campus really for taking care of their needs. And you mentioned that you have paperwork. Is that like a charting system that you have to follow through with to report back to the hospital?
Yeah, so it's not directly connected. I know every health system does it a little bit differently. Ours is more specific to our own school. And so you need documentation for any healthcare profession, obviously. Ours is laid out, so it's more per school. Some athletic trainers, it's more directed to like whatever hospital setting they work for. Colleges, they'll use their own electronic medical system, or an EMR. Most of the high schools in our area use kind of the same thing, but it can differ just like in any healthcare system. One could be using this, one could be using this, as long as it's documentation somewhere. So,
Yep, got to report it all and make sure you have everything aligned and whatnot. Are there certain injuries that are more common?
Oh, yes and no. It definitely goes in waves. What I've found is a whole bunch, like for a season, we'll have a whole bunch of something. We'll have a whole bunch of ankle sprains, a whole bunch of, I don't know, wrist pain, or every track kid has shin pain. And then the next season, it's totally different and they're fine. Unfortunately, this current season, I've had a lot of broken bones in the fall too. And I'm like, okay, we're just gonna break a lot of things apparently this year. And with some years, I don't have any fractures. So it really depends.
Yeah, the shin splints for track athletes hits home. I have had to deal with so many shin splints coaching track. So, yes, I understand. Like it does seem, and can the weather play roles in that at all, or is
Certain
it more?
injuries, it's always best to be warm and warmed up when you go into any activity. And high school age kids don't really prepare as well as more adult or college athletes. And so that is a struggle. Be like, okay, you have to have your body equipped and warm and prepared to do the activity that you're going to do. And obviously, when it's colder, you have less ability to do that, and they don't realize that. Not always the case, but it does happen sometimes that they just don't realize it. So that's a part of a lot of sometimes what I do is I deal with the after injury, and I deal with the education part beforehand to be like, okay, did you warm up? Or, oh, you didn't eat any food today? Well, of course you don't feel good now. So a lot of extra stuff in my day to day than just taking care of a sprain and a strain.
Yeah, and I imagine it's a lot of relationship building, especially if you have certain kids that might get injured a lot. Unfortunately, they're, in your office more, and you do get to teach them a lot of those extra things that go into staying healthy.
Yeah, for sure. There's always the clingers. It's a really interesting pattern, especially at high school setting. You see them as a freshman, and you're like a new face that they can talk to, and they can like, oh, like I'm hurt, I can go see this lady. And then it tapers as they get into their senior year, and then they try to like avoid me because then they don't want to be hurt. And it's really funny to see that like freshman to senior year progression where they're like need more stuff because I'm there. And then it turns into like a different relationship as they get older because they realize like, oh, I'm not actually hurt.
Right. I want to be healthy. I'm going to do what I can to try and stay healthy. Have you had any like really crazy injuries?
Definitely some like scarier incidences, some concussions that are just presenting really scary or different. Seizures are never a great thing to deal with just because everyone's on such high alert and like it's obviously a scary incident to just see. Otherwise, thankfully, I have not had to use my AED. I'm always like prepared to use it, but thankfully we have not, or at least I have not had to do that. And then we've had some significant broken bones in the last couple of years that of course they're with football, but that is scary to the individual and time consuming to have to deal with at the time and getting everyone to calm down and focus on the needs. But otherwise, not anything in particular. I feel like those are kind of like the big ones that is the most like stressful and like replays in your head after. Like you're just like, your heart is pumping quick and you're like, oh my goodness, I just held this kid's leg that was very broken while we took care of XYZ. Like, and then you just have to get through that. And then after, be like, I did that. Like, I did great. I did what I was supposed to, and I did what I was trained to do. So.
Yeah. It can be a super high intensity job with a lot of waiting in between, and you're hoping for the waiting and that kids don't get hurt. But it's so good that there are people there to assist them capably when the scary injuries do happen. And especially with high school students, I mean, you have parents and guardians who are involved also. Is there a lot of communication kind of outside of the school then for these injuries?
So outside of obviously their parents, there's collaboration with physicians, physical therapists, and then our school has a school nurse. So there's that in part too. So our little group at our hospital, I have a way to get kids in quickly, and then I can collaborate well. Or if something comes up, I am a phone call or a text away from a couple of physicians to answer any questions that I might have or kind of direct us in the right path. And then once an injury does occur, I have to follow certain restrictions per the physician or whoever. But it's a lot of collaboration then with either physicians and or physical therapists, and we're all just trying to be on the same page, so.
Yeah, just supporting the student athlete and making sure that they are getting better and hopefully can return to play. I know that return to play plans are a very important thing, and I'm sure that's something that is entirely like your field, right? Okay.
Depending, there's like return to play. It's very specific for very specific sports. Like concussions have a very like specific return to play. Certain knee tears, like an ACL, it has like very specific research-based guidelines and practices, fractures too. And then there's a lot of things that don't, because it's every like your bodies are not all the same either. But there's a lot of specific protocols that research says to follow, and we know it works, and so that's what we do.
Do you get to work with any of the other athletic trainers for much? I know you mentioned the football away games, but are there moments where you're all together at all?
We do check in, we have meetings with each other. Our hospital group is pretty small. There's only five of us in local high schools. Some are much bigger. We do help each other out, if the school closest to me needs an extra set of hands, and we can help each other out there. Or like a school is hosting something big, like a state tournament or something like that, then we could help each other out that way if like we need another athletic trainer. So a lot of times I'll have events or nights of events that I'm like, hey, I can't do be in two places at once, especially when it comes to being at like two separate locations that aren't close. And so someone else will come and help cover that circumstance. And some schools are big enough that they have two athletic trainers already, but it just really it depends on the night. But we have meetings and we get to see each other. It's just we don't see each other on a day-to-day basis, so.
Right. They're your coworkers, but you're not working together all that often. Yeah. So you've mentioned it already, but because you're working after school hours and nighttime events, what are like your typical hours, maybe on a game day versus a practice day?
The fall and the winter and the spring each kind of have their own chunks of time, but for the most part, our school gets out at 2:55, so I am usually there by 1, to get everything ready, prepped, kids on the right track, emails, paperwork, all that fun stuff. And then the kids get out of school, and then on event nights, like game nights, we can be there usually about 9. 9 o'clock is a game night typically, unless something went really quick or someone got mercied or something. But usually I would say 8:39 on a good night. There's always things that go really long, that you just they just went slow and they went long. Football is longer. That's more of like a 10 o'clock, sometimes 11 because of traveling. And then there are some Saturdays mixed in there too, at least for us. And the Saturdays for aren't evenings, they're more day tournaments and stuff like that. So that's a little bit different. But I would say it's like a half second shift. It's not like a full second shift. which has its which can be nice. I like having my flexibility in the morning. I don't always love getting home at 11 o'clock from a football game, but it has its perks too.
And then what would a practice day maybe end at?
Usually more like 7 by the time everyone's done. And because I'll do like kids can come in prior to practice or kind of after practice. But yeah, more like 7. So.
Awesome. So when kids are coming to see you, maybe to get the rolling or stretching or, some of the stuff before practice starts, where are they coming to see you?
I have an office on the athletic side of the building, kind of nestled between the gyms and our wrestling room. I thankfully have a really nice room in comparison to some high schools. I have enough room for my treatment tables, ice maker, whirlpool, two taping tables, and then I have a separate office that's like got a glass wall that I can close the door on if I need to talk to a kid more one-on-one, make a phone call or something like that. I don't really know exactly what size it is, but it is my own office. If you've ever been to a physical therapy clinic, it has a lot of the same things, weights, rollers, all that good stuff, just plus the added ice makers and hoses and stuff like that. But yeah, it's kind of just nestled right into all the athletic wing, and that's where I work. But I'm never in there all the time either. When it's outdoor season, I'm mobile office more so. I start my day in my office after school, and I usually get my stuff on my cart, and then I'm kind of bouncing around depending on what is needed. So when it's outdoor seasons, I'm not outside or I'm not inside really that much, which is nice.
Yeah, that could be a big perk to the job. Is that something you enjoy, being outside in that like different locations and
I'm not stuck in the office all the time, especially in the outdoor seasons. It's great to be able to go outside. I mean, when the weather is nice, it's amazing. There are times where we get snowed on or sleet or rain, but in comparison, that's okay to being stuck inside all day in a clinic or a rehab. That's fine. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Good shoes, good clothes. You can take any weather.
Are there other things that you particularly enjoy about your job?
Yeah, I mean, other than everything being different every day, being outside, I really enjoy the age group of kids that I work with. They, for the most part, appreciate what you're trying to either teach them or show them, and they're just learning a lot. I feel like if you work with college age kids, they're a little bit more knowledgeable. And not that they would be rude, but like just a different age bracket of athletes. I feel like at the high school setting, you can be a different adult in their life to guide them in, healthy ways of living or just like talk to them. I'm not their coach, I'm not their parent, not their teacher. I get to see them work through an injury and maybe get like more adult tendencies as they grow. And some kids you just get to know really well and end up feeling like you're taking care of them, which happens a lot of time with us. When I talk to a lot of my friends, I'm like, oh, well, my kids, because I don't know what else to call them. That's just kind of what they are. You just kind of get used to that. I think that's kind of the biggest part of why I love my job and why I'm still in the high school setting is to like making a difference in them. When you get invited to a graduation open house and or they're so appreciative or they want to have coffee with you outside, you're like, okay, like I made a point in your life that you at least remember, and it's like it's good. So
Yeah, that's definitely a good feeling. And being established at a high school, do you see like siblings go through and get to interact with families and stuff?
Yeah, it's really fun to see, like, especially big families. You're like, oh my goodness, I had your brother and your brother and your sister. And then just to see them, like, a whole, like, the oldest, and then you get to the youngest. I'm starting to get more of that. And now that I've been there a little bit longer, and it's really fun to see siblings and how different some of them are and things like that.
Yeah, it's cool to be an established part of that school community in the athletic area. Do you work with or for anybody else at the school?
So I work in collaboration with the athletic director. So even though I'm technically an employee of the hospital, there has to be a certain amount of collaboration with the athletic director. He's, the main admin over athletics. I wouldn't say I report specific things to him, but there's certain times where we definitely need to collaborate and make sure we're on the same page, especially if there's like a weird situation or a grumpy parent or, certain things like that. So we have to definitely be in communication for sure. Like we always talk about something every day. It's just he does his thing. I have a very different role too. So he trusts that I do my job and we go from there.
Gotcha. It's good to have that kind of relationship where you know what you're in charge of. You know that they're your kids and you're going to take care of them too. And
Yep.
like you know what you're doing. You've got it under control. Are there things about being an athletic trainer that are kind of challenging, like realistically challenging?
Yeah. I feel like the timing of like the work schedule doesn't really always work for some people, depending on if you have a family or what your spouse does. Especially, and I've never worked in a college setting, but college settings, you get really pulled into either traveling with teams or like really odd hours. At least at a high school, you can kind of set your hours and you can be, as long as you're very like strong with keeping your boundaries, you can keep those separations as far as your time commitment and people bugging you and things like that. that can be a challenge, but really it depends on where you work. Obviously, you're dealing with people, and some people are just hard to deal with. So it, sometimes it's totally fine, and sometimes you just have to work with people that you have to work with.
I'm sure when an injury is involved too, that's like a heightened emotion. They're frustrated. They're wanting to
Yeah.
return to play or do things their own way. And you're just trying to help.
Right. Yeah, I've had it multiple times where you're just like, I'm just here to make sure you can keep playing. And once you've been at a place long enough, they really understand that you're not out to get them or out to hold them out. It's more of like, no, I'm here to make sure you can keep playing your sport. I'm not out here to be an enemy or whatever. And that gets better with time too, for sure, especially for new athletic trainers. It will get better with time once you get more established. So
Right. It's why would you want to keep a kid out, like, unless they really need
right.
it to
We
be
don't like to
out?
hold anyone. We
No.
don't like to hold anyone out. It's just like, hey, we're here to keep you safe. And I feel like a lot of my conversations are is like, you might be able to do it, but should you do it? And that's kind of something that I ask a lot of the kids. It's like, could you? Maybe. Should you? No.
Would you be
Especially
back in
with,
my office sooner?
right.
What advice would you have for someone who might be interested in pursuing a career in athletic training?
Definitely observe and visit, or like get in touch with an athletic trainer prior to, jumping into it. Just like any schooling, you don't want to waste your time and not do what you want to do. Obviously, it costs money, but once you're in the program, you want to be set. So definitely observe and make sure that's what you want to do. And then I've had a couple students now from Grand Valley where I went to school. And the biggest thing that I tell them is like, you're offering a service and you're dealing with people, and especially as you're learning, is think before you speak for sure, but be confident in your answer because you are advising medical advice. So it's think about it. Don't like just spiel out something and then go back on what you said, because otherwise people get confused and kind of annoyed and like, hey, like you told me this and now you're telling me this. But also be confident in your decision. So if you decide that that kid is done playing, stick to that. There's a reason why you thought that, and so you need to stick with that. So kind of two parts as far as athletic training goes is, yeah, I would say for sure, make sure you know that that's even what you want to do and you fully understand the healthcare and what it is. But then once you're in it and you're doing it, stick to what you learn. Like you get taught all these things. It's just you have to stick to what you do.
Yeah. Do you have to keep up with research and new upcoming treatments and things like that?
Yeah, we have continuing education. So to keep our certification active, and to keep our license within whatever state you work in, you have to do X amount of continuing education units, and most of them are just based on upcoming research and things like that. But
Gotcha. So you have to be a lifelong learner, obviously, to keep serving your community and knowing how best to care for whatever injuries might come your way, because you never know what injuries might happen that day.
Exactly. Everything is different and something new comes out, or people hear of so and so getting hurt and you have to almost re-correct them to maybe more of appropriate information. That happens a lot too. So that's why you have to keep up to date as well.
That makes sense for sure. Thank you for sharing about your job title and just the ins and outs of what it looks like on a given day, whether it's a practice day or a game day, and all of the little unpredictabilities that come along with it too. Before we leave, I would love to hear what your best piece of life advice is for our listeners.
I would say there are times to be selfish for your own self. And there are times that you have to remember that you aren't special, which sounds rough. But be selfish when your mind or health or family needs you. But think before you speak and remember what you say changes others' day too. I would say that just goes for any job, any life,
Oh
anything.
yeah. Those are really good pieces of advice to pass along. I know that it can be easy to be swept along into other people's things going on and just forget about yourself, but you also have to take care of yourself in order to be there for other people in the future when they do need you. So, great pieces of advice. Thanks again for sharing and having this conversation with me, Sarah.
Yeah, it's been fun. Very fun.
Thanks for joining me this week. Being able to share your stories is what I love. We all have different journeys to get to where we are today. And for Sarah, she found a program that was a good fit for her skill set, personality, and ability to make an impact. I loved hearing about how she gets to refer to these student athletes as her kids because she gets to walk alongside of them through some tough things sometimes with those injuries. And just be another adult in their life, providing wisdom and support. It's fun for me to hear that application of both the skill set, the knowledge, and everything, and the personality coming together in a job that just really makes sense. So, if you care about your job and would like to share more about it, send me an email at heidi@jobtitlepodcast.com or head to jobtitlepodcast.com for more information. Thanks again. Until next time.